Lay. What's up? Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS Podcast. We're going to preview the 2024 Charles Schwab Challenge at Colonial Country Club. But before we do that, we'll talk about the PGA Championship and much, much more. You can find me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Always Press DFS, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing great. Doing much better than a few people over the weekend, so that's a plus. But yeah, pretty exciting PGA Championship, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a lot of bitching about the scores. I know they got the 20 under. Two guys got the 20 under. One guy got the 21, set the record. It was the lowest PGA. I think it was like the field was like minus 264, and like the next best was plus 35. Yeah, I saw a tweet yesterday.
Yeah, Ray. What's his name? I saved it. I know what you're talking about. It's crazy. I'll give you the exact numbers here.
Justin Ray. Yeah, but I mean, you know, either way, I mean, it's like the golf was great. It was a lot of fun to watch. I know that, you know, unfortunately in Kentucky, we can't control the weather like a lot of places can. And we got a shit ton of rain, man, beforehand. And it made that golf course very, very gettable. I'd love to see it firm and fast, but you'll never see that in May here. It's just, no. I mean, my yard, I just mowed it, dude. And like, it looks like I haven't mowed it in 2 weeks and it's been a week.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, like, it's like, what do you do?
There's nothing you can do. PGA Championship used to be one of the last majors of the year. They moved it up to not make it the last major of the year to get the FedEx Cup in so that they can get their vacation. This is kind of the casualties of that situation.
Right.
That's just the way of the world. I got Justin Ray's tweet here. Valhalla 2024 combined score minus 214. Next closest, like you had 95 at Riviera plus 40. 2018 at Belle Reve plus 59. That's a big difference.
It's wild, but like it shows how good these guys are at golf, because when you give them no wind, when you give them soft conditions, they hit five irons exactly how far they want to hit a five iron, and it goes right by the hole.
Yep.
Because it's not like this was a short golf course, 7,600 yards.
They still had to find the fairways. Like they still had to
The rough was rough. I do wish that they had it a little bit more penal, because there was a lot of times when dudes hit it in the rough, especially like on 16 kind of comes to mind for me. If you hit down the right side of 16, you know, Xander got it up with like an eight iron up close to the green and then got up and down. But it's not a U.S. Open either. So, you know, I mean, you can't have it unfair. So it was a balance there. You know, like I said, the one thing about Valhalla, I don't think it's like the best golf course in the world, but it's delivered some great golf tournaments. And yesterday was one of the best that I can remember for a long time, major wise.
Yeah, people kept saying that it made a lot of sense. They're like, it might not give the, you know, quote unquote major scoring you want to see,
right?
But it's going to give you major drama every time they've had a tournament. Like you said, Valhalla has been great finishes. The Ryder Cup was a great finish. Like there's great golf that comes down to it. And I guess that's what we got to think about at the end. You know, I prefer not to have a U.S. Open scoring. I would like maybe a minus 9 or 10 winning would be fun. But I get both sides of the spectrum there. But at least there's a handful. It wasn't like a runaway. It wasn't Scotty at the Masters or something. Like we got good golf, and that made Sunday fun at least.
It did, man. And, you know, Xander obviously got out to a good lead there shooting 62. I mean, there was two 62s. I can't believe Shane Lowry was so unconscious with his putter on Saturday. It was unbelievable. But shoot 62 and then lead wire to wire. I mean, he looked unflappable. Like the dude, when you thought the fuck up was coming, he would just scramble and make a putt, and there you go. I mean, so it was really, really, really good golf from Xander, Bryson as well. Victor, how about Victor going back to his old swing coach and immediately?
Yeah. Talk about like makes you wonder why some of these guys, like I guess they're such creatures that just always wanting to tinker, but it's like, why did you change in the first place, dummy? Like
it's the same. You know, you think about Tiger, and you know, obviously Tiger changed his swing three or four or five times. And like obviously he had certain runs, but I don't get like why you're changing, especially with Victor's swing. It's not like Victor has a normal swing.
No, he needs a guy that knows his swing.
Right. So, you know, for him to change it or get a new coach and try to change things up, I don't know. To me, it's a lot different than Tiger changing his swing a little bit, but I was glad to see Victor back there. And poor Colin.
Colin, yeah, he's – I don't know. I want to say he's close, but it just like – he even put on Instagram, like, putter for sale. He was so just beyond done with the what that week of putting, let's put it that way.
That had to be so frustrating, man. You hit it so good, put yourself in position, and then just – I don't know. A lot of it to me looked like reading the putt. I mean, he was missing putts on the high side, which is where you're supposed to miss them. But I mean, when you're this good, you should be making a lot of those putts that he just completely whiffed the hole on. So
that was like very interesting. Missed like 7 or 8 putts within 5 feet. Like
Brooks was 0 for 4 from 3 to 6 feet on
Saturday.
He could have been leading the golf tournament.
Yes. That's what frustrates me, because like I had a lot of Brooks. I had Brooks my one and done, and he hit the ball like I expected Brooks to hit the ball. Like, he played great. He could not make a putt, and then Sunday he started making them again. I'm just sitting there going, man, like this was it. Like, he totally that just goes to show you how hard it is to play great golf for 4 rounds. Like, what Scotty's been doing, I hope people never take for granted. It's like insane what he was doing. So
yeah, another ho-hum. You know, top 10 for Scottie Scheffler. Nothing else happened. You know,
nothing big happened. Nothing like, you know, just casual stroll to the golf course on Friday. Nothing major.
I mean, what a bizarre day that was.
Man, I found out how many friends I have that like golf. I'll tell you that about that day, because
for you left coasters, you guys are still asleep, and it's happening at 3 o'clock in the morning your time.
Yeah, the one day I sleep past 5 o'clock, I wake up to messages from Jesse and, you know, my buddy Ryan from the other pods and all these guys, and I'm just like, what the heck? They're all basically like, wake up and check Twitter or tune in, like it's a million things. And one just flat out said Scheffler got arrested. And I'm like, what? Bizarro world, man.
Yeah, I woke up to my dad texting me at 7 a.m. And I knew there was something, you know, if he's texting me and he's like, Scotty's getting arrested. I'm like, there's no way this is real. So I get up, get out of bed, and Twitter is ablaze. And it was one of the best Twitter days in golf Twitter history, I do believe. I'd easily put it inside the top three. I can't really think of anything else that gets above it, but I'm sure that there's
been really have. I don't think we really had Tiger the Elon thing during Twitter.
No, we didn't. The day that Tiger wrecked, that was probably up there.
Yeah.
You know, there's obviously been golf tournaments here and there, but I mean, just absolutely bizarre. I mean, I'm sure you've seen the video by now.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
So he asked the golf guy, the golf writer, whatever, to help him, and the guy's just like, "Hey, wait." Like, if that's me, I'm like, dude, you're arresting the number one player in the world. What are you doing?
Yeah, speak up.
Yeah. I mean,
use your words, buddy. Come on.
It was really, really strange. And then the guy who owns the golf course goes and picks him up and gets him back to the golf course.
Yeah.
They move his tee time.
Yeah. Move his tee time, which is technically legal, apparently, in the rules, which I did not know.
And then just go birdie the first hole.
Yeah. Just like unconscious. But then Saturday was a different story. Otherwise, he probably wins the whole darn thing, too.
I mean, you know, 73 Saturday, if he gets down to, you know, if he gets that to 66, maybe he's got a better chance. But I mean, it's not like, it had to catch up with him at some point.
Oh, heck yeah.
I'm assuming that's what happened on Saturday. Like, I don't know. Apparently, after the round on Friday, he was still hanging around, hitting balls, chipping, signing autographs. So I thought that was kind of weird, because like, if it's me, I'm probably just going home.
Yeah, I don't want to be around anybody, pretty much.
Right. But. You know, and starting to like talk to my people to get stuff straightened out. You know what I mean? Yeah. Kind of put my energy into that. So I don't know if he overextended himself Friday or not, but what a bizarre week. I mean, you know, the Louisville police don't have the best track record to begin with. And then you just throw this in on the biggest week in golf in Louisville. Obviously they have the Derby every year, so it's not like they're not doing big events. But the problem with Valhalla is it's out in the middle of nowhere. And so getting there, I heard like just horror story after horror story from my buddies who went. I had one buddy who was like, hey, you want to go? I'm like, there's zero chance I want to go get in that mess. And that was going to be Friday because it was raining too. Like, this is not something that I want to do, is go hang around with 100,000 people in Louisville and then you get bussed around. It's just a disaster, in my opinion. But some people don't care, and they do that, obviously, because the crowds were great, man. I mean,
yeah, they were.
The thing about the tournament, the golf course not being great, was the tournament was so, so good. I don't know how you don't bring it back. I would love to see it, like, in September. They'll never do it, obviously, but that's when golf courses here get firm and fast. That's when we're in our kind of our dry season, because we're never really in a dry season in Kentucky, but it's going to be more so dry in September than it is, much more dry than September than May. But yeah, I mean, what a week, man. And we didn't talk about Rory getting divorced.
No. Yeah, that's what was crazy. It was like, it went from, there's some people like Jimmy Dunn resigns from the board, then Rory's getting divorced. Then there's like another resignation on a board. Then Scotty gets arrested, and not to mention someone died during all that.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
it could even worse.
Yeah,
it was just like every day it seemed like a trickle down effect. And but yeah, wild stuff. Wild stuff, to say the least.
It was a fun week, man. I'm really glad I ended up having to play golf Saturday morning, and then again Sunday morning, and I got to get home and watch pretty much all of it. And it was, I mean, say what you want about the golf course, it was a lot of fun to watch on TV, in my opinion.
That's all I ever care about in the end. Like, these right. guys are so good. It's kind of like you said, if the course doesn't have its teeth because of the weather or whatever, then any of these guys are going to tear it apart. That's just the nature of the beast. Like, that's what we say, like, when the U.S. Open was at Pebble. I think we were all smart enough to know if it was windy, that was not happening for
Gary. Right.
Like, that's just the reality. But you can't control that. You can only set right. it up a certain way and, you know, cross your fingers. Otherwise, these guys are the best of the best for a clear, clear reason. So they took it apart, and that's the way it works. Now, you said something about playing in September. Feinberg made a great point today. I'm going to throw this out there. They should bring the Ryder Cup back to Valhalla. That's more of a September golf tournament, that time of year at least. That could be a lot of fun, because that's where the Eisinger Pod thing was Valhalla. That's where it happened. So that could be fun.
I agree. I mean, you know, you can get that golf course running firm, running fast. You know, the green's a lot more hard than what they were. So I could see that, because it's a pretty fun finishing stretch. When you start with 13, you move those tees up. They moved the tees up on Sunday, and some guys were trying to drive the green. I mean, Toasty actually drove it to like 10
Toasty feet. Was like within what, 6-7 feet?
Yeah. So you move the tees up maybe on one day or something on that hole. That's a pretty good hole. That the par 3 14th is long, 250 yards. It's tough. And then 15, 16, 17, 18, or 15, 16, 17 are good golf holes, because they are not easy. You can set them up however you want to. And then 18, obviously, is just a great finishing hole, in my opinion, because it shouldn't really be a par 5. It's like par 4.5.
Yeah.
But you're not going to make it a par 4.
You can make it a par 5 for a match play. It's fun because it's the risk-reward part of it.
Right.
Like, you can do all kinds of different things on that.
Yeah.
Walk around the right. Do you, like, go hard left like those guys are doing on Sunday? Do you have to get there in two, because this other guy's like, there's just a million ways to go about it.
It's not an easy driving hole. I mean, you can look at it like from the last few groups. I mean, everybody was hitting it left, and that fairway is so wide. You don't have to hit it left, but the way that the tee box sets you up and the way it looks from the tee, it makes you want to hit it left, because you're like, there's not enough room on the right, you know? So, I agree. I think that's a great point by Jeff, and he's usually pretty sharp about things. So
he's pretty sharp about that. When he mentioned that, I'm like, that's actually a really, because I remember in the broadcast, they were talking about the pods and Eisinger. I'm like, yeah, that'd be cool. They keep bringing new courses in, it feels like, and doing stuff. And I'm like, this actually could be kind of interesting. Like, I could see that playing out to be good and see where that one goes. So not bad there. I was waiting for Xander's putt on 18 to lip out. That was like literally centimeters away from
yeah.
a whole different world right there. And then I don't know if Xander could have fought off Bryson at that point.
It would have been an epic, because it was a 3-hole aggregate too. And they were going to do 13 with like 13, 15, 18 or something like 18, that.
18 for sure. Because
18 was, Xander, but it was a start on 13. I don't know. They were going to do something weird. That would have been so much fun to watch, especially if you had as much money on Bryson as I did. So,
yeah. Dude, Bryson, like, he is crushing majors. He's crushing life. Like, I know it's been talked about a million times, but just watching all the videos between signing his hat and giving it to a kid, between trying to give a ball to a kid and an adult, he like stops that, and just the way the crowd reacted. Like, when Liv first happened, none of this was happening. Like,
you know,
like, villains didn't matter. Now they've embraced him. Like, even Brooks gets embraced and people talk to Phil and stuff, but Bryson's like the dude. Like, between the two tours, the dude.
Like, what I was thinking too about Bryson, I don't know if you saw his post press conference or whatever. It's on YouTube. It's actually a pretty good listen. He said he had his B+ game, which,
yeah, I saw that.
Get the fuck out of here with that. But either way, I mean, because he definitely could have drove it better, but no matter
like
said, what.
Because he didn't shoot 58 like he did at Greenbrier. That's
I
different.
I don't know. I don't know what the A game looks like, but 20 under over 4 days at Valhalla is pretty.
Well, he did say that too. He's like, I shot 20 under and didn't win a major, so that's pretty tough.
Yeah, I mean, that is.
That's fair.
But
it's a fair statement.
For me, like, Bryson, because he's like, I want to be an entertainer. Like, he's got to miss the PGA Tour in those crowds, because you're not getting that crowd ever on the Live Tour. You're not getting what'll end up happening. If there's a good tournament at Charles Schwab this week, there'll be a great crowd. I guarantee it. People will be into it. It'll be loud on 18 if it comes down to that. And you're not getting that on Live ever. And it just has to be a great feeling to have that PJ and then go back to Live, and you got to be like a huge letdown your next tournament when there's 15 people there, wherever they play it. So I'd love to have him back, man. I mean,
I think of all the guys
who win, I never thought I would say that.
That's pretty much the sentiments, like, between what I've watched on TV last night, from what I'm reading everywhere, like the whole complete like 180 on Bryson has been pretty remarkable, and rightfully so. I think, like, the dude, he's likable now. He's not just
he's changed.
Punk. Yes. He has. He's changed. I think he's got a dose of reality. He got his money, did his YouTube thing, and realized maybe I need to, like, you know, I don't know. But he has changed as well. I'm not going to try to speak for him and say why he maybe changed. But there's, like, a both sides. And I think one of the really cool things, I know we should get to Charles Schwab eventually. But so I was watching, like, last night in my office here, I was watching a lot of the recap stuff, and they had, you know, Brandel Shambly, good old piece of mouth garbage. But every once in a while, he's got some funny things. And I was shocked because they were sitting there on the stage. There's the older European guy. I always forget his name. There's Shambly, and then there's the host.
Yeah.
And they're sitting there talking, and Shambly's like giving kudos to the Live players all of a sudden. And he's never done that, ever.
No.
Ever.
He's a huge hater.
And I'm like, it made me stop what I was doing to watch the TV for a second, because he was talking about how much he literally said, I miss Bryson DeChambeau on the tour. Like, flat out said that. I was like, holy, like, stop the presses. We have headlines, folks. He's not fighting Anthony Kim on Twitter right now. We got it. We got stuff. He never mentioned Brooks's name. I'll say that much. Never mentioned Phil's name, but he mentioned Liv, the players on Liv, and specifically mentioned Bryson DeChambeau a few times. And I was like, wow. I don't know if this is because now he's going to be doing the U.S. Open for NBC, and he realizes I got to start talking to these guys probably, or what it is, but he had a change in his sentiments as well. And recently he even said there needs to be an agreement because he needs all the players on tour. He's actually come out and finally switched that tone a little bit, but he flat out said, I miss seeing Bryson DeChambeau on the tour.
Yeah.
I was shocked.
I mean, it's hard not to. It'd be fun to, just have to wait another month and we get Pinehurst, which should be a great venue, and we'll get them all great back.
For Bryson as well. That's a good spot for him.
Yeah, it should be. You would think, you know, I think the only guy who really kind of was, of the guys you expected out of Live that didn't perform was Rahm. And
yeah,
you know, I think he's got to be kicking himself at the moment.
I think he might do a Brooks situation here. The way Brooks finished the Masters and got a little pissy, I could see Rahm going and working on a few things here. And,
yeah, for sure.
Wouldn't shock me, but we'll see that in a few weeks. As you mentioned, they're actually doing US Open qualifying certain places on Monday as we record. There are some events going down all over the place, so we'll see more names get thrown into that mix. A lot of Live guys trying to qualify, maybe some special exemptions to get through. I don't know. That was at least cool that they did that for the PGA, so we'll see if they do it elsewhere. But let's talk Charles Schwab, because, like, we could probably talk about every other narrative on the PGA Championship. Let's talk Charles Schwab here at Colonial Place. We've seen quite a bit, a lot of different names over our history here, Jesse, but same golf course, same kind of idea. So what do you got for some past event history?
It has been redesigned recently, though.
As at the end of last tournament, yep.
So we'll see how that plays. And it's got a shit ton of names. It's now the Charles Schwab Challenge. Once the Fort Worth Invitational, was once the Dean and DeLuca Invitational, which I remember because I was writing for you on your website at the time. And Dean and DeLuca, like, what the fuck is that? Crown Plaza Invitational for a long time. Last year, Emiliano Grillo, 8 under in a playoff over Adam Schenck. 2022 was Sam Burns, 9 under in a playoff over Scotty Scheffler. 2021 was Jason Kokrak, 14 under, 2 shots over Jordan Spieth. 2020, Daniel Berger, 15 under in a playoff over Morikawa. 2019 was Kevin Na, 13 under, 4 shots over Tony Finau. Justin Rose won this tournament in 2018. Kevin Kisner, past champion. Jordan Spieth, was this, I don't think this was his first win, but it was a very early win for Jordan Spieth in 2016. Chris Kirk, past champion. Adam Scott, Zach Johnson twice. Big mix of golfers there.
Yeah, big mix of golfers, because it's one of those kind of tournaments, like you'll hear Harbortown a lot and some of these other kind of shorter courses. Brings a lot of different players into the mix, and that's kind of one of the beautiful things about this golf course. It is Colonial Golf and Country Club is the way I read it a lot. And as Jesse mentioned, it was renovated literally right after the finish of the last round, completely ripped out. They brought Gil Hansen and company to basically redo the plumbing to make it sustainable with all the weather changes in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So it got replumbed. But they laid the same bent grass sod. They pretty much left it pretty much the same. They changed like 2 greens completely, and then they altered some of the greens, more the sloping of the greens overall. But so that could maybe bring a different aspect into the play, but the size of the greens are pretty much all the same, except for the 2 they changed, obviously. But it's a tree-lined golf course. It's a shot maker's golf course. It's an iron maker's golf course. When they renovated it, they extended it 89 yards. So that was a big renovation there. So it's a par 70, though, 7289. So it's only a par 70. So you got to take advantage of the par 5s. It's got some long par 3s, which also plays into the whole iron play, long iron play. A lot of your shots will be 150 to 200 yards in. So the long iron play comes into play. Water's on 6 holes. You got tons of bunkers, especially in the fairway on this course, to make it more of a shot maker's situation, as we talked about. But for the most part, like Jesse was saying, a lot of guys come into play here. So it's more about get hot with the putter, I think, is the biggest thing. But you want to be in the fairway to get your irons in, because, you know, around the greens can be penal. This course, Jesse was mentioning some of the scores, 8, 9 under, some get to 15. There's a lot of double bogeys out there if you're playing bad. Like, there, you can get stuck in the trees, or if you're in the rough, it's not as easy as some people think. So fairways, long iron, happy putter. It's like a normal week on tour, but that's the recipe for success. So what are you looking at this week, Jesse?
Yeah, accuracy off the tee, more so than distance, definitely plays a factor. Birdie or better percentage. Approach always matters. Scrambling, I weight that. And then par 4 scoring as well, because, you know, par 70, like you said, 2 par 5, so really got to take advantage of those, but need to be able to make pars or better on the par 4s, because there's a shit ton of them. And then course history. I think, you know, especially based on what you just said, it's not a huge change. They didn't completely redo the whole entire golf course, so course history will still matter.
Yeah, from what I read, the biggest reason they ripped it out was for all new irrigation. That was the whole point of it, so we'll see.
And you mentioned par 4. Yeah, they've been in a drought, and now they just get inundated with rain over and over again. So
go figure. So the whole reason they pretty much did it, not going to matter anymore, at least not this year. And you mentioned the par 4s. Most par 4s, it's a bucket of 350 to 450. It's a large bucket, but they're not a lot of long par 4s is what I'm trying to get to. So you can use that to come into play. But because of the way, like, they dog leg or this or that, you're not sitting there driving it and like having like a 60-yard shot in like you might at some other courses. You're still going to have a decent wedge in it at best on a lot of them. All right, let's talk DFS here. And we have a $13,000 player, Jesse. So that means we have $5,000 players as well this week. It is an invitational, but they expanded it to 133 golfers. It's still T65 in ties, so keep that in mind, everybody. But on paper, you should get a good amount of 6-to-6s, but anything can happen. 10K and above, you got Scotty Scheffler at $13,300 for now. Colin Morikawa at $11,000. Spieth at $10,600 and Homa at $10,400. What are you liking up here?
Scotty Scheffler.
Pretty much.
I mean, obviously. Morikawa, you know, obviously this, you would at least, I would, maybe not obviously, but I would think this would suit his game more. If you look at the, you know, the winners, 8-9 under the last 2 years, nothing over. I think the record is 21. That was in 2010, 20 under in 2018. But the last 5 years, basically, it's not been over 15. So this would be more of like his type of golf where you don't have to make every single putt, especially every single 10 footer that you stand over like he did last weekend in order to win. So I think Morikawa's playable. And then Homa has played here plenty. 9th, 23rd miscut, 27th miscut. So 9th last year, and then obviously made the cut at the PGA Championship, finished 35th. Did you see his Instagram post?
So good. Like, yeah. Like when you think you can't love Max Homa more, he continues to like prove me wrong. That was gold.
Yeah. He's got one of the best personalities on tour for sure. But yeah, I mean, I think Max is okay. I just, you know, I'll probably just play Scotty again and not play anybody above 10K and probably nobody, you know, in the mid eights or mid nines either, but you know, we'll see. I don't, hopefully he doesn't withdraw. Cause if he does play, I've just made it a point to just play Scotty Scheffler when he plays. Cause
that's fair.
Even last week, it's not like, you know, he didn't win and he didn't necessarily even get like as many points as minus 10 really from what was expected based on his salary, but still got 97 points. Finished 8th. So it's not like it didn't completely kill your lineup. Like my lineup, I had five of six and, you know, was inside the top 50 in about a $1,200 or 1200 man tournament. So yeah, I just keep playing him, man. I don't know what else to say.
Scotty got you 97 DK points and he shot his first round over par this entire season. That just shows you how insane that guy is when he's playing good golf.
And you gotta think, man.
That's why you pay for him.
Going back to that round on Saturday, if he has Ted Scott on the back, there's no way Ted Scott's letting him hit driver on that. I think it was number 4.
Not letting him do that. He's basically sits him down for a second, just talks to him. Just like Clear said, there's so much more than a caddy picking up a club. Like just that, like because he could have looked at Scotty and goes, okay, you're frazzled. Like we know you're not. Like let's talk. Let's figure this out. Like,
right.
He could have got him back in a much better place.
It was such a bad stretch right there, and just completely lost the tournament in 3 holes. So
and I'm not blaming Ted Scott. Like you know, no. Go to the graduation of your kid.
Yeah,
you didn't know Scotty was getting arrested on Friday. It was right. A fun deal, but like, yeah.
Plus it's your family. I mean, you're going to do that. I totally get it. I'm just saying, if he was there, 100%. I got to think that things would go differently.
100%.
One more thing: why are these guys still driving themselves to the golf course?
It's like I say when guys get DUIs, when all this stuff, like, what are we doing? Like, even at Pebble, they don't drive because most of them live at Airbnbs all around the course. Like, I sat there and Lexus sponsors them, and they all come rolling in either Lexus SUVs or vans driven by sponsors.
Oh, really? So, I mean, like, why would Ted Scott or his agent not be driving his ass to the golf course
That's fair, too.
I mean, it should be. Like, I don't know if it has something to do with insurance or something, maybe, because the golfer gets the car, but it just blows my mind. Ever since everything happened with Tiger, like, just kills me. But anyway.
Yep. No, it's a valid question that I'm probably guessing is getting discussed these days, too. That might be on near the top of the policy board agenda in the next couple weeks. So, definitely something. But I'm with you in this range. Scotty Scheffler definitely will probably be the number one ranked guy in my model for the next couple years, just based on how well he's played. But, 13-3, I'm all about that if you can pull it off and like your build. But the only other guy I like here is Morikawa, like you said. It's like it's a tale of two stories. Like the putter was so bad, but he's still like literally one of the best ball strikers in the field, if not the best ball striker last week. Like he had the best set of numbers, just could not putt to save his life. Still finished 4th, 16th at Wells, 9th at Heritage, 3rd at the Masters, coming in playing absolutely incredible golf right now. You know, he's second here in 2020, like you mentioned, behind Berger, but 14th, 40th, 29th, not the best of finishes, but he has played well here, and just the form coming in is lights out good. So I'm willing to go back to him if you want to, but I feel like if I'm paying up here, I might as well just pay for Scotty at that point. We'll see. It could be that big of an ownership difference. Who knows? But those would be the two guys I like up here if I'm spending up. But, you know, when I looked at the stuff initially, it feels like a balanced week more than anything, but I just have to stay balanced with Scotty Scheffler involved.
Right.
9K range here. You got Finau at 99, Minwoo Lee at 97, Siwoo Kim at 96, Brian Harman at 95, Sungjae at 94, Hoagie Time at 93, Adam Scott at 92, Harris English at 9,000. Who do you like in this one?
Start with Minwoo. He's played here twice, finished 40th last year and missed the cut the year before that. Come off a 26th place finish at the PGA Championship, 24th the week before, or 2 weeks before that at the CJ Cup, 22nd at the Masters. So playing solid golf, I think he's fine. I would rather play Tom Hoge, though. I mean, the problem with Hoge right now, or the problem with his game is nothing, but the problem with the course is the course history. Missed 52nd, miscut.
I was
40th, 42nd, 17th. So, unfortunately, does not have a good mixture of – doesn't have a good track record here. However, he is playing pretty solid golf, so – I like him. And then Harris English, man, a surprise last week to come out of nowhere, kind of like Rose. Did not expect to see Harris English and Justin Rose inside the top 10 for a while. I don't know where he ended up finishing 18th, shot 70 on Sunday and just got lapped. But pretty solid event for Harris. 12th here last year, missed a cut in 20, 20th, 29th, 2nd, 30th. So he's got, you know, been around this golf course plenty. Has had some decent success, including that second place finish in 2016. So I like Harris and Hoagie quite a bit.
Yep, don't hate it. Finau at 99 is interesting to me. Like, he's 18th in my model. The par fours, good on the shorter ones, not so good on the big ones. But I'm just looking at what he's done here, 18th, or just in general form, coming in 18th at PGA, 52nd Wells Fargo, 12th at Heritage. So it's not bad. Is it $9,900 form? Who knows? Miscut here last year, but 4th, 20th, 23rd, 2nd. So before last year's miscut, Tony Finau was a dude you just played at this golf course. That's a scary situation anytime you say that about Tony Finau, because he probably would miss the cut. That's what he does. When you don't expect him to play well, he gives you a top 15. That's what Tony Finau does. But I like him at 99 because I think if everyone pays up for more Kyle or Scheffler, Finau kind of gets left off the list here. And he's a dude that's proven he can play at this golf course. Siwoo's another one, 10th in my model. Miscut last week at the PGA. I think we can all agree majors you kind of can take with grains of salt at times. 16th at Wells Fargo, 13th at Byron Nelson, 18th at Heritage, 30th at the Masters. So had really good form before last week's miscut with Siwoo Kim, 29th here last year before not making a cut for years at this golf course. So I think Siwoo's a good tournament play at 96. A couple others like Hoagie's, obviously. We don't – like I talk about Hoagie enough. I think everyone knows my thoughts on Tom Hoagie, especially if I mention it's a iron approach golf course. That's Tom Hoagie 101. Like, he's fifth in this field in approach over the last 24 rounds. So he'd be a dude I'd definitely be looking at. But I will say this. He's great from 150 to 175. From 175 to 200, he's 105th in this field over the last 24 rounds. So that
one other note,
struggles here.
One other note on Tom. Love the guy. Does not play well in the rain. Just go ahead and note that in the future, because he shot 66, 73 in the rain, 68, 67 last week.
Just so weird for a North Dakota boy to have weather be an issue for him. So, and I can say that one side of my family's from North Dakota, so it's very odd situation.
Dudes were going low. I was worried he was going to miss the cut for a long time last week, but he ended up obviously making the cut.
I want to mention Brian Harman. He's third in my model. Short golf course.
I almost clicked on him.
This is like he's first in this field at par fours, 4 to 450. He's 11th from 350 to 400 par fours. His proximity is 14th from 150 to 175, 7th from 175 to 200. He's 16th in good drives. Like, these are all things we're looking for on this golf course, is stay in the fairway and have a good approach game. He's $9,500, 26th at the PGA, 47th, 12th at the Heritage. Heritage, I think, is a really good comp of this course. 29th here last year, miscut T8 back in 2021. I like Harman quite a bit this week. I think that's a good one at $9,500. Sungjae is always the wild card. It's been miscut or great finish. Just know that. So if you're like multi-entering, if say you do a 20 max, I'd have three or four Sungjaes, honestly. I would have Sungjae in my lineups because he just has that ability. Just know it's been rather bad of late. Then you mentioned Harris English also. So I'm with you on that. But I think Harmon's kind of the one I'm staring at in this range that I hope hopefully gets overlooked. 8K range, you got Seabez at 89. Horschel at the T8 last week. I'm sure if you couldn't watch him on Twitter. He got a T8 last week, Jesse. $8,800. Danny McCarthy at 87. Keith Mitchell at 86. Justin Rose at 85. Chris Kirk at 84, Sepp Straka at 83, Tom Kim 82, Keegan Bradley 81, and Tomas Dietrich at 8,000. Fun little range here, Jesse.
Yeah, start with Keith Mitchell. He did miss the cut last year at this event and last week, or no, last start at this event, which was 2021. Made the cut in 2020, finished 64th. Missed the cut last week, but before that was 20th and 14th, and those are two Texas starts. He did miss the cut in the other Texas start, which was Houston, but I could see him being pretty low owned. I'm looking at 12%-ish right now. It's not great, but Sepp Straka, 8,300, 29th here last year, missed two cuts before that, missed a cut last week, but before, like last week, it's so wild that he played Wells Fargo so well, shot and finished 8th, 5th at the Heritage, 16th at the Masters, and then like literally couldn't hit a 5-footer at the PGA Championship. I watched a lot of his round via the kudos to them. They really improved their app. Do you remember how bad it used to be?
Oh, it was it shut down on you every time you'd open it up, basically.
Yes. I mean, it was the worst of the worst. And they really improved it.
Tough to do.
Yeah. They really, really made a massive improvement on that. So the lesson there is continue to bitch about stuff on Twitter and it'll get fixed. And then Tom Kim at 8,200. So never played here. I feel like he's starting to figure it out. 26 last week. He was on the leaderboard there for a little while on Thursday, made the cut, finishes 26th. So I think going back to him or going to him this week, going back to him, I have not played him all year, but going to him this week could be a little bit sneaky potentially. And you get a lot of upside at 8,200.
I'm thinking the same thing with Kim because I've been watching like you have. I'm like, hey, looks like it's coming together for him. The only pushback I'll give if I have to play negative Nancy, he's played 4 straight weeks and 5 of the last 6. Like, I always get nervous when dudes don't take breaks.
Yeah.
But everything else I 100% agree with because I didn't look at his stats at all and I just saw the price. And I'm like, okay, we got to, like, dig in on this now because I feel like he has been playing well and he has, like you said. So I get the appeal. He's young. Private jets, like, he shouldn't be tired, but he could be, like, type thing. You never know. Sungjae did it, so anybody can. But I'll start with Seabez at 89. He's 14th on my model. He rates out really good here. First in double bogey avoidance, 9th in proximity from 175 to 200, 6th in the shorter par fours. He's 12th around the green. Just really, really solid stuff from Seabez. Coming in pretty decent form after the miscut last week, 16th at Wells Fargo, 28th at Heritage. Good iron player. So I think Seabez is fun. Love your call on Keith Mitchell. He's 4th on my model. It made me do a double take when I saw the 4th. He's 2nd off the tee in the last 24 rounds, 3rd from 150 to 175, 20th from 175 to 200. So plays that really well. If he can get the putter going, I think that's a great play with him. Rosie, $8,500, coming off an outstanding week last week, 6th at the PGA after 52nd in Wells Fargo, 44th at Heritage. And it's like, Rosie, could you have waited 1 week? Just wait 1 week because now we get you on a course you love. 12th last year, miscut 20th, 3rd, 58th. So that's a bummer, but good on Rosie.
Wins in 2018.
What's that?
He won in 2018.
Oh, there you go. Past winner at this golf course. Sepp Straka, I'm with you. Like, just take the bounce back. I actually saw, like, I know it affected you, so I'm not going to go deeper on that. But sometimes I like when a guy misses a cut because a lot of guys get the negative feels, just go right back to him. He's playing such good golf. Like, this is hopefully it lowers his ownership. Like, get some step at 83. Still 16th in my model. He's 5th from 150 to 175, but similar to Hoagie, 117th in the field from 175 to 200. So it's kind of the buckets could be a different, but he's really good on the par 4 scoring, 8th in good drives, so he leaves himself chances. So that's strong. I got Tom Kim as well. Keegan, I always like, 22nd my model. And then Dietrich's interesting at 8,000. So I like this range. I have a lot of angles you could go ownership-wise, but Dietrich finished 4th last week, miscut at the Byron Nelson, 28th at the Heritage. And then if you look at past history, he finished 21st last year here in his first attempt. So Dietrich could be one of those guys that comes in a lower ownership just because the European angle and just other guys around him, he could kind of get overlooked in that one. 7K, I guess we'll break it up this week. 75 to 79. You got Bhatia, Taylor Moore, Aaron Rye, Berger, Hubbard, McNeely, David Thompson, Ricky Fowler, Poston, Glover, Eckroat, and Hostler. Who do you like in this range?
start with Taylor Moore at 7,900. We were talking about him before, how he's played so well at majors, finishes 12th here, finishes 20th at the Masters, but in between it's kind of like 38th, 58th, 31st, 48th. He did finish second at the Houston Open. So it's not like he's not played great outside of majors, but I do like him quite a bit. Daniel Berger at 7,800 has not missed a cut here since 2015. So 23rd, 20th, first in 2020, and 53rd. And he's coming off the Myrtle Beach Classic, where he finished 36th, 13th at the CJ Cup, and 45th in Houston, playing some solid golf. Aaron Rye, the guy who just was already ready for the rain. 39th last week, 4th. CJ Cup, 58th, Texas, 7th, Houston, 12th, and 68th in his last two starts here. So 12th last year, 68th, 2022. Pretty solid. Mav McNeely, 7,700. He's made four of his last five cuts at this event. 52nd last year, missed cut in 2022, but before that was 20th, 32nd, and 42nd. He's playing some really solid golf right now. Finishes 23rd last week. Hasn't missed a cut since the American Express back in January. I mean, not like over the top great finishes, but good enough at 7,700. Davis Thompson, the model likes him, coming off the second place finish at Myrtle Beach. Lucas Glover, you talk about, you know, iron play and that kind of thing. That's usually Lucas Glover's forte. He did make the cut last week, finished 43rd. He couldn't keep up because he can't putt, but 16th at the Wells Fargo, playing some really solid golf of late. And then Ekroat, who randomly was on the leaderboard out of nowhere, in my opinion anyway. 18th last week, 63rd Wells Fargo, 17th at the Heritage. He did miss the cut at the Masters, but before the Masters, hadn't missed a cut since Phoenix. So also playing very solid golf. He's never played here. Well, he's played here once. He played here last year, finished 16th. So that's where I'm at. I like this range quite a bit. There's even more names that I could click on. Like, what happened to Hubbard?
He's 73, part of the week.
73 on. Yeah, that's crazy. You shoot two over, and they don't show a shot after like the second hole from him on Saturday.
Yeah, some guys just get no love. It's a shame because I love Hubs.
I mean, he was like wasn't he in the last group or second last group?
Yeah, he was. And let me see if I can find it. You mentioned him because he had a hell of a tweet. Like the best, it's the rephrasing. One of the fun parts about if you could find the saving grace in the whole Scotty Scheffler thing was a lot of the comments on Twitter via other golfers in the field. And Mark Hubbard basically says, no effing way Scotty weighs 170. F on fat. Like, it's like these guys are at least having fun with it, trying to like make light of a real crappy situation. But that's just Hubbard in a nutshell for you. You know, great first round going out there to try to compete for a major. And he's sitting there talking about how fat he is compared to Scotty Scheffler. So got that going for you. For me in this rain, Osh K at 79, he's second in my model, second on approach over the last 24. Par 4 is 4 to 450, second, fourth from 175 to 200. Just a matter of, you know, just not having the blowups. Osh K is pretty darn good, especially when he's kind of, I guess, more shot makers courses. That kind of plays into his wheelhouse, especially if it gets windy. So he's played good on the Texas courses so far this year. So I like Bhatia. He's one on one of them, by the way. Aaron Rye, it's an approach game. I'm with you. He's first in this field from 175 to 200. Fourth in good drives. So that sets up good for Aaron Rye. Berger, I can go back to at 78. Hubbard at 77. McNeely at 77, I think, is interesting. Struggles with the approach game, but I'm just looking at kind of like current form when it comes to McNeely. 23rd at the PGA, 41st at the Byron Nelson. We know this turns into a putting contest. He can do. He finished 20th here back in 2021, 32nd in 2020. So a couple of decent finishes there at 77. I love the glove. At $7,500, he's seventh in my model, like 10th in approach, seventh on the par fours, 16th from 150 to 175. I think we always think Glover has a chance, so I like him at 75. Then I have Ekroat as well, like you mentioned, at 75. Just playing great golf. He's played great in Texas. There's a lot to like with him as well at $7,500. 7K to $7,400. Who are you liking here?
Start with Kevin Yu at 7,200, fourth place finish at the Myrtle Beach Classic, his last start. Missed cut CJ Cup, but 39th Texas Open. very up and down. Lee Hodges at 7,200 as well. He's 2 out of 2 made cuts at this event, 29th and 35th in his last 2 years. Finished 12th last week after 24th at Wells Fargo and 58th at the Heritage. Rio Hisatun never played here, but 18th at Puerto Rico his last start. I swear he was in the field last week at the PGA Championship. I guess not.
He was.
I thought he was too.
Yeah, no, I had a finish for him. I was just looking at it earlier. He finished 18th last week.
Yeah, the stats must be probably wrong. But 18th place finish last week. And then Bobby Mack at 7,000.
Playing good golf.
Fresh off the 13th place finish at the Myrtle Beach Classic. Did you see his drop on Saturday?
Friday. I missed the drop. I missed that.
So the par 5 7th, which has the split fairways.
Okay.
He hits it. I have no idea where. Somewhere back in a hospitality area, and takes 20 minutes, and there's 5 groups on the hole at this time, by the time he's done, and ends up dropping it on the patio of one of the said hospitality. And yeah, and then so there's like fencing in front of him, but he drops it. It's nice, you know, artificial grass, drops it on there, makes a par. You should go look at that fucking shot tracker. I don't even know.
It sounds like something we complain about a lot is what you're trying to tell me that I should go check out.
Blows my mind.
Again, it's like we say nearly every time. I love it if we can get those drops in our groups when we play at our course. You know how well that would go over?
I mean, the guys that I play with, I mean, they're hard asses, and they would not ever. I mean, like, it's just, it's crazy.
And we're playing for a couple bucks. They're playing for millions. Like, right. It's pretty wild. Let that kind of stuff.
See if they got that shot tracker for that hole. Yeah. He goes the right fairway, hits it. I don't even know where. The shot tracker on here doesn't even make any sense because the second shot for him was on the green, then the third shot was a putt, then the fourth shot was off the green. I don't even know how to explain it, man. Like, they still didn't fix it. They just 270 yards to the unknown. Dropping the unknown.
Just frozen too. Into the unknown, goodness
gracious. I don't know, bro. Yeah. It was one of those deals. I wish you could have seen it. You should go find it.
I'll have to go check it out. I'll check it out. For me in this range, Shank Daddy at 7,400 bucks, 28th in my model. He's fourth from 150 to 175. When he gets the putter going, it's a beautiful thing. We know he's a volatile golfer. That's why he's down here. But miscut last week, 64th at Wells Fargo, 13th at the Byron Nelson, 49th at Heritage, 12th at the Masters. That's the volatility I'm talking about. But Shank finished second here last year after a miscut in the 65th and a 43rd. So Adam Shank is in play at $7,400. Andrew Putnam at 74. He's 35th in my model. Really good on both the par 4 scoring metrics we're looking at here. The approach game's not ideal, but 13th in good drive, so he should give himself some chances. He's also 15th around the green in this field, which could help him avoid the big number, which could come into play for Putnam. So like that at 74. Lee Hodges at 7,200 bucks, good driver of the golf ball, approach game, little sketch. It's more of a guy's 12th last week, 24th, 58th in his last 3 golf tournaments, and then his last 2 years here, 29th and 35th. So he's played well at this course, coming in good form. So I think Hodges at 72 could be a lower owner play. You mentioned Ryu at 71. He's 19th on my model, playing outstanding golf right now. Grillo, the defending champion, I'll still go back to him. He's not playing as good as he was when he came here last year, but he's intriguing at 71. And then I got Bobby Mack at 7K. Like you said, playing some pretty, pretty good golf for Bobby Mack standards. So 7K seems a little cheap, which means he's probably going to miss the cut by 7. But I think he's intriguing. 6K range, who you like?
Start with, sorry, somebody texted me. Sam Stevens at 6,800. 29th here last year. 10th at the Myrtle Beach Classic. And hasn't missed a cut since the Players' Championship in March. So I like him. Harry Hall at 6,400, third here last year. Come off a 40th place finish in Myrtle Beach Classic. But it missed the cut at the CJ Cup, made the cut at the Texas Open, made the cut at the Houston Open. So 2 out of 3 Texas swing there. Jorge Campillo at 6,200 has never played here, but 4th at the Myrtle Beach Classic, 24th at the CJ Cup. Justin Suh, 16th here last year, coming off a 50th at the Myrtle Beach Classic. Ben Silverman, obviously we're in the Myrtle Beach Classic range here. 2 out of 2 made cuts for Silverman at this event, 40th and 11th. Myrtle Beach Classic, 16th. Carson Young, 6,000, 21st year last year. Myrtle Beach Classic, 32nd. CJ Cup, 30th. Missed two cuts, though, at the other two, Texas Swing there, Texas Open and Houston Open. But we're in the 6,000 range here, so we don't get everything that we want.
No, we do not. For me, Justin Hadley at $6,600. I don't know why I really care for Justin Hadley, but he's missed the cut of the Byron Nelson. Has not. I don't have the Myrtle Beach numbers in my thing, so he had to have played there, of course. But he hasn't played there since 2020, where he finished 23rd. He finished 31st in 2019. So I look at him. CT Pan made 3 out of 4 cuts at this event, so don't mind some CT Pan. And then Justin Lauer, 57th here last year, $6,400. He finished 24th at the Byron Nelson, 4th in Corrales at the Punta Cana. So, and he's 12th in my model. Really, really good approach game. He just has trouble finding the fairways. So if he can do that, could be in business. And then Matty Schmid is another guy, $6,300, 9th in my model. Phenomenal approach game, 3rd from 175 to 200. He's 10th on the par 4s, 4 to 450, 23rd on the others. His around the green game is atrocious, so that's what kind of kills him at time to time. Missed the cut at the Byron Nelson, 11th in Punta Cana. And then Justin Suh missed his last two cuts on tour, which is never good. But when you're thinking like iron player, Justin Suh is a guy that can get hot with the iron. Which, you know, at Honda, finished 16th here last year, which makes sense if you think about his normal type of game. He's coming and playing some really rough golf in general, but approach game numbers are still decent for $6,100. But that's kind of where I'm looking right now. I kind of actually prefer some of the 5K, maybe a little more. What do you like in this 5K range?
I got one guy checked off, David Skins, and he's made two cuts in a row, 20th and 48th in his last two starts. Missed cut, but Houston Open was 7th. You tell me.
Yeah, it's I got Chad Ramey. He's 112th in this field. Really good par 4 score, though. It's more the approach game that's an issue with Ramey. You look at the event history, 12th here last year, 27th the year before. So he's played really good at this golf course for $5,900. Missed cut at the Byron Nelson, 50th at Punta Cana. Not warm and fuzzy stuff. Ryan Moore missed cut at Byron Nelson. He's 58th in this field. But you look at this course here, he hasn't played it very much, but he loves the short courses. So I could see the angle there, and actually plays really good on the shorter par fours with a decent approach game. Ben Coles is interesting. 26th at PGA, 58th at Wells Fargo, 2nd at the Byron Nelson. We watched that meltdown on 18 at the Byron Nelson. I'll never forget that one. Has never played here before, but coming in playing some pretty decent golf. So I don't hate him at 57, but that's about it.
I've got one start in 2013, finished 62nd.
Hey, hey, that's not bad. Not bad. He was what?
11 years ago.
Yeah. It's like he's a youngin' back then, Jesse.
I'd say he might have been a teenager. Good I don't Lord, know how old he is, but he can't be
30. Had to have his parents walk the course with him, probably. That's a wild. All right, let's recap things here. Who do you got in the 10K and above range? I'm guessing
Scottie Scheffler.
Yep. All right. What about – I'm not going to argue with you. I'll say Colin to be different, I guess, but like we all know it's Scotty. 9K range.
I'm going to say Harris English.
I'm going to go Brian Harman. Going to go with Harman on this one. 8K range.
Keith Mitchell.
Yeah, I like that. That's a sneaky good one. For your sake, I'm going to say Sepp Straka.
Thank you.
At 83. 75 to 79.
Taylor Moore.
Taylor Moore. That's a good one. I'm going to go with, give me some Lucas Glover. 7K to 74.
Lee Hodges.
I like the Lee Hodges one. I'll go with Putnam. 6K range.
Stevens.
I'm going to go with Lauer. And then 5K.
David Skins.
I'll go Coles. Okay, if you build the GPP lineup this week, where would you start out on that one?
Scottie Scheffler, for sure.
That's fair.
Yeah, Harris English. So it leaves 7,000 left. So we're going to get – well, I might take out Harris English from that. I don't like that as much because I want Taylor Moore in there for sure. And then like Bobby Mack at 7,000.
I think that's interesting for sure. I think I'll go with Brian Harman at 95. Give me Glover at 74. and then give me Lee Hodges at 72. So if you want to go high, you can still go high, basically. There's room to play if you want to. All right, Jesse, who you got winning this thing? The favorite is Scottie Scheffler at plus 275 with Morikawa at plus 1,200.
Yeah, I bet Hoagie 45-1. Strzok off the bounce back at 45, probably worth a look. Tom Kim at 50, a little sprinkle on that. Keith Mitchell at 55, I could get behind that. Yeah, those would be my four. So Hoagie, Straka, Kim, and Keith Mitchell.
All right, I can dig that. Hoagie, Straka, Kim, and Keith Mitchell. I think Harmon at 35 has some legs to it as well. Remember, there's only 133 golfers, so you have a better chance at maybe top. Like Hoagie's plus 200 to top 20, folks. Plus 200 to top 20. Glover's 225. Rose is a great right course history here. Plus 230.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of fun top 20 numbers here, folks. Get at it. Have some fun. P. Rogers in the field. I didn't even notice that. Not a P. Rogers week.
Yeah, well, I knew that when you didn't mention him.
Yeah, not a P. Rogers week. But all right, we're going to wrap it up there, Jesse. Final thoughts before we head on out of here.
I don't, man. It's going to be a letdown this week off after the big week, especially with no Bryson in the field. Big Bryson guy now. So, but
big Bryson guy now. Words I thought I would never hear on this show ever, but we are here, folks.
Just a few weeks away from the U.S. Open, so looking forward to that.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to that. I'm with you on that. Should be a really, really fun one. So, gonna be good. We got it's another non-elevated event next week, and then we got back to elevated U.S. Open, elevated, I think. So, a lot of big time golf coming up here in the next few weeks. So, have some fun with this one. Remember, 133 golfers, T65 and ties. And until next time, check out Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods, the podcast at Always Press DFS. I'm at BD Intrick. This was your 2024 Charles Schwab Challenge. The show goes on.